Hey everyone, my name is Steve. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio Church. So today I want to talk about a motive of love in relationship to sharing the message of Jesus with other people. So this verse in James is kind of interesting. It says, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it?" And I think the idea here is if there's a physical need that you see, that somebody has that you could do something about, and instead of helping, you're just like, "Hey, well, good luck with that," then you're not really being very loving. You're not really living out your faith very well. I think in a similar way, if we see deep spiritual needs that people have, if we know that people face impending death, which is completely avoidable, and then we don't say anything to them or help them avoid that impending death, then it's like, oh, we're not really being very loving. We're not living out our faith very well. And my goal here is not to make people feel bad for not sharing their faith more, because I can really relate to it's just really hard to talk to people about Jesus. So my goal is to think about sharing our faith in a way that is way easier, where it's not such a challenge and it can be more of a natural part of our lives. And so let's pray, and then we'll talk about the motive of love. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here today and just listen to this worship and enjoy you and think about you and learn from you. And I pray, God, you would help us in overcoming our fears of talking to other people about you. Just you've done the greatest thing in the world for us by providing a way of salvation and a way for us to have a relationship with you. And the whole world needs this. They need to hear this. And we all have different opportunities to talk to different groups of people. And I pray, God, you would help us to learn how to talk to people about spiritual things and even share our faith with others in a way that's going to be acceptable, I guess, to us, something that's not too hard, and that's something that can be received by others, and something that bears good fruit. And so we ask your blessing on this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so I want to think about our motives a little bit. There is a verse in Ecclesiastes 4:4. It says, "I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another." And we can see this sometimes, right, where we're competitive and we do something just to be better than somebody else. But the idea that everything we do is tainted is a pretty wild thought. But when it comes to sharing our faith, I see that in myself. I see that I'm not just purely motivated by good reasons. So some of the things that affect me, sometimes I'm motivated by spiritual tallies. It's like I want to be able to have my little marks that show how spiritual I am. When I was in college, there was a guy who sat down next to me, and we were friends, not super close, but he turned to me and he said, "So you're not one of them born again Christians, are you?" And I thought, oh, this is not going to go well. And I'm like, "Well, yes, I am." He's like, "Oh, good. Okay. Well, I've been thinking about becoming one too." I'm like, okay, that went way better than I thought it was going to. And we ended up having more conversations, and he ended up becoming a Christian, but it was because of his friend who had shared the gospel with him and not because of me. And so I was kind of excited that he became a Christian, but I was also kind of disappointed, like, I wanted the spiritual tally, right? I wanted it to be that I sat down and shared the message with him and not that somebody else did it. And obviously that's messed up, right? That's not good. But I see that a lot. Like if we have a mission trip, well, I want to see the most people come to Christ, or I want to have the best experiences, or, you know, I want maybe the guy that I saw saved is, oh, he's actually going to come to church, and he gave up drugs, and he's been off drugs for the last 8 hours, and he wrote a song to Jesus that he's going to perform for us. You know, if I can't have the most people, I want to have the best experience in some way, the most true convert or something. And so I see these motivations in myself that are messed up, and it's just good to be aware of those. Sometimes I had the motivation of just being right. Remember when I was younger and somebody would say that they were Catholic, I would jump right into it, you know, like, oh, so you pray to Mary. Like, okay, well, let's go to battle here. And obviously that's not a great motivation and people don't receive that very well. Sometimes we can share out of duty. Like if we say, hey, let's all go out sharing on Saturday, or we're on a mission trip or something. And that can be fine. That can be good. Sometimes we need a little bit of motivation, but it also shows there's something a little bit tweaked there if that's not more of a normal part of our lives, but only when somebody kind of forces us to do it. And so I just want to think about those motivations. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very lives as well. And I think that is an amazing verse. You know, I really want that to be more and more my motivation of where I'm sharing with somebody because I actually care about them and I care about their future and I care about them receiving the message of Jesus. So that's something that I'm trying to grow in. I'm not an evangelist, and I know every evangelist says that they're not an evangelist, but I really think I'm not. When I see other people who seem to be evangelists, they're gregarious and they're outgoing and they're not really shy. And maybe I appear that way up on stage or something. I don't know how I appear to others, but think about me after church. You know, it's like, it's hard for me to talk to people and it's awkward. And you might be like, yeah, Steve never says hi to me after church. It's not anything about you. It's not that I don't like you. It's just that I'm self-conscious and shy and selfish. And it's just not easy for me to talk to people, and certainly not about spiritual things. But over the years, I've tried it. So I've had a lot of experiences, and that makes it look like I'm some kind of great evangelist or something, but it's just, I'm really, really old. So I've talked to friends and family and coworkers and neighbors. I've written some different little, call them testimony tracks, where it tells just a little bit about my story. It just gives me an opportunity to, like when I buy something, I can, at the end of the transaction, just say, hey, can I give you a little something that I wrote? And I always hope that I'm going to get a call from somebody that's like, hey, you know that thing you gave me 3 years ago? Well, it changed my life, and I'm a missionary in Zimbabwe now. But I haven't got one of those calls yet. Sometimes I've knocked on doors and just asked people if I could pray for them and just seen if that conversation goes anywhere. Sometimes I've done cold turkey evangelism, which is talking to somebody just off the street. Sometimes they call it initiative evangelism. And sometimes we think of that as being really super hard, but actually I think sharing our faith is always hard, because with cold turkey, it's scary because you're talking to somebody who you don't know. You don't have any idea what they're going to do, how they're going to respond. But with friends and family, with relational evangelism, that's also hard because then you're risking that relationship. You're afraid that they're going to respond negatively and you're going to continue in a relationship with them forever and you've damaged the relationship somehow or something. So both of those are hard. They're both very similar though. And really the difference is what fears do we have to overcome in those situations? And I think the things I'm going to share about here are helpful in both of those types of evangelism. So when we have a motive of love, it makes it easier. It makes it easier for me, it makes it easier for them, it makes it easier for us to have a good and fruitful conversation. So we want to look at three different things. One is we just invite people into a conversation, we engage them in conversation, and then we lovingly respond to the things that they say. I mean, this is not rocket science, right? It's just really easy. So we're just saying, hey, can I have a conversation with you? Then we listen to them, and then we respond as lovingly and graciously as we can or as the Lord leads. So let's go through those three. So first off, just to invite them into a conversation. It's helpful to realize there are people out there who would enjoy having a conversation about meaningful spiritual things. Some of them are your friends, some of them are strangers, but they're out there. And the way that you find out if they're interested is you just have to ask them. So let's think about some things that would not be helpful. Well, if someone traps you into a conversation, what are you thinking about? Well, if someone traps me into a conversation, I'm thinking about how do I get out of this conversation? I don't want this conversation. And it doesn't even matter if it's about religion or politics or pets or yo-yos. If I feel trapped, I want out. And we want to be aware of that as we're engaging people in conversation. I like to give people lots of room to get out at any point they feel uncomfortable so that they can just kind of be free of that sense. Also, if I feel like someone's fishing, I don't always want to take the bait. So if somebody said to me, "Yeah, I went to the Buddha Bazaar on Saturday," well, obviously the follow-up question is, "What's a Buddha Bazaar?" And obviously their response is to tell me all about Buddhism. And I'm not interested in that. So there's nothing really wrong or offensive about fishing, but just to realize that doesn't always work, because when you're saying, "Oh yeah, I went to church," or "I had this event, I went to this parenting conference," and you're thinking that that's going to be really effective, a lot of times they're like, "Eh, you know, I don't want to take the bait." And so just to be aware of that. And just to admit, sometimes you can trap someone in a conversation and somehow that works. I don't know how that works. I am not very comfortable doing that with people, but some people do, and sometimes that works, and that's fine. I'm just sharing with you what has made talking to people about Jesus much easier for me. So since I'm inviting people, I'm looking for people who are interested in accepting the invitation. So if somebody says they're not interested, they're not interested, and I usually move on to the next person. And I'll usually start off just by saying something like, "Hey, I'm just going around, I'm talking to people about God. And I was wondering if I could just ask you a few questions." And then I'm just upfront with exactly what I'm doing. They have the opportunity to say, "Yeah, I'm interested," or "No, I'm not." Obviously, if it's a friend or coworker or something, you probably wouldn't say that. You would just say something like this. So, "Hey, I was wondering if we could talk seriously sometimes. I was wondering if we could have a meaningful conversation. And I wanted to just get your thoughts on spiritual things. What do you think?" And you're just being totally straight up front with what you're doing, and people really appreciate that. I remember one time I was in my early 20s, and a friend of mine and I went out on campus at Colorado State University, and we're trying to find people to talk to about God. And we met this guy, and we asked him, "How do you like Fort Collins? And what's your major? And what do you think? And do you have roommates?" And we're having this great conversation. Then we try to turn it to spiritual things. And says, "Hey, one of the things we're doing is we're going around, we're talking to people about God." And he looked so offended. And he actually said to us something like, "So you guys just came to talk to me about God? So all that stuff you talked about before was like fake?" And I just thought after that, it's like, I really want to be straight up with people with what we're doing. I think that's a more loving thing to do than to try to kind of feign friendship and then try to talk about God. We used to do something at our church called Bar Outreach, and it was where, as people were coming out a little bit of Texas out of the bar on Saturday nights, we would set up a table and give out free hot dogs and hot chocolate and stuff, and people would come over, and it was a really amazing thing. I don't want to give the impression that I was a huge part of this. I think I went to it 2 times because it took place between like 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning. And I like to sleep between those hours. And usually I had a message the next day, and I kind of wanted to have my head in the game a little bit more than if I had stayed up late. But it was a really cool thing. There were some great things that we learned from that. And what would happen is people would come over and get their hot dog, and they kind of look around, and they see the church sign, and they're like, "Oh, you guys are a church." And we're like, "Yeah, we're a church." "Well, what are you doing out here?" "Well, we're just trying to love people and get into conversations about God." "Oh, well, I used to go to church." And then they start talking about God. And, there's some things that we could learn from that. One is that the people are very willing to talk about God. They're very interested in talking about God. It was also helpful for me to see, because I always thought the difficulty in evangelism was all on my side. I'm afraid, and so it's scary and awkward. But the reality is the people you're talking to are also afraid, and they're scared. Even though they would like to talk about God, it's challenging, and somehow it makes it a lot easier after they've had a few beers. And there's something about them letting down their guard. So I guess a lesson you could take from that is you could take people out for a few beers. The other thing you could do is just talk to people in a way that helps them let down their guard, and then you're able to have meaningful conversation. And so again, this motivation really matters. Motivation of love makes it easier on me, easier on them, easier to have a good conversation. So once we get permission to have this conversation, and they say, yeah, they're interested in talking, then we want to engage them in a conversation by listening, by taking interest in trying to understand where they're coming from. If someone wants to challenge you to a spur-of-the-moment debate about something you've not really been thinking about, what do you want to do? "Well, I want to get out of that conversation. I don't want to have that conversation." And as a pastor, this happens to me every once in a while where somebody will kind of come up like, so what do you think about infant baptism? And they have their big black Bible and they have their verses and they're ready to engage. And to me, it's like, well, I've thought about this and I have convictions on this and I've read the verses on this and maybe I've spoken on this or written a paper on this, but I'm not ready. They're ready to fight. I'm not ready to fight. I don't really want to have this conversation right now. That is almost always the case in evangelism, is they feel unprepared. And they are afraid that you are. You're ready to go. You've geared up for this. You've been thinking about this. You have your verses. You're ready for battle. And so they don't want to engage because they don't see it as you're just trying to listen to them. If you come at it as, hey, I want to hear where you're coming from and not prove your case, then that helps your message to be more well received later. If someone wants to prove you wrong, what do you want to do? Well, you want to prove them wrong, or you don't want to engage. If someone wants to hear your point of view, what do you want to do? If someone says, so what are your thoughts on abortion? Well, your response to that's going to depend a lot upon what you think their motive is and what you think they're going to do, how they're going to respond. If you think they just really want to hear your view, then you just share your view and you feel comfortable with that. But if you think they're going to go to battle, then it's like, eh, I don't want any part of that. So what we can do is we can ask lots of questions, listen, be good listeners, poke around a little bit. I like to ask people if once they say that, yeah, I can ask them a few questions about God, then I'll just say, so do you believe in God? Do you go to church? Did you grow up in any particular religion? Do you still go to church? Why did you quit going to church? What do you like about your church? Or just poke around, just asking different questions. And oftentimes that will take us down a trail where they'll want to share part of their story with me. You can ask questions that you're interested in knowing the answers to. They don't even have to go down a particular path, but just, hey, I have this question for you. If you're talking to somebody and they have a cross tattoo on their face, you can just ask them, so what's that cross tattoo mean to you? They might say, oh, nothing, I just like crosses. Or they might say, oh, yeah, that's from when my aunt passed away, I got that. Well, now I have a bunch of other questions. Say, hey, I'm really sorry to hear about your aunt. You know, was she special to you? Why was she special to you? Was she religious? Are you religious? What did the cross signify to her or to you? What did she die from? You know, there are lots of questions that you could move forward with there. One time I was going door to door and just asking neighbors in this area how I could pray for them. And I met this guy, and he didn't seem particularly interested in being prayed for. But we just had our normal conversation that kind of came to an end. And I say, hey, I've got a really personal question for you. And is it okay if I ask? And he's like, sure. And I said, you know, I can see into your house and you have this huge telescope. What is that? And he just lights up and he starts telling me all about his telescope. I'm like, well, what are you going to do with it? Like, oh, I'm going to teach my grandkids. And so, oh, you know, I was in Boy Scouts and tried to learn about the stars and I couldn't ever learn anything. And I got this book by H.A. Rey, who's either the writer or the illustrator for Curious George, or maybe both. It was on finding the constellations. Have you ever seen that? So I told him all about it, and he wrote it down. You know, he's all excited about showing this to his grandkids. So we had a great conversation. If I were to see him the next day or a few days later, he would have a warm response to me. We didn't go to battle. We didn't even have a great spiritual conversation, but I loved him, and I think he felt loved. One time I was just going around trying to talk to people about God, and there were these two guys in the park. They were playing soccer or basketball or something. I waited till they were taking a break and I went over to them and I said, hey guys, I'm just going around and talking to people about God and asking about their beliefs, and I was wondering if I could ask you guys a few questions. And they both kind of looked at each other knowingly, like they had some secret between them. And so I just asked. I had a question that brought up, right? So I said, hey, you know, I noticed you guys look at each other. Like, I don't know what I'm getting into here. Like, are you atheists? Are you Mormons? Are you going to pull out a knife and stab me? I don't know what's going on here. And so they just laughed and they're like, oh, we're Baha'i. I'm like, oh, okay, because you've been here at the park smoking some weed. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. If our motive is to look smart, well, for me, then that puts me in a really defensive spot here because I don't know anything about Baha'i. But if our motive is just to have a good conversation, well, now I got lots of questions, right? So what's Baha'i? And why are you Baha'i? How did you become Baha'i? Are there other Baha'i people in El Paso? And where do you meet? And what do Baha'i people believe? What do you believe about heaven? Do you believe that there is a heaven? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, I have all these different questions. And so then it kind of shifts, right? And I'm starting to ask questions, and they're basically preaching to me. They're telling me all about their beliefs. I'm like, okay, well, that's good. I'm learning, I'm listening. And then hopefully at some point, they'll say, so what do you believe? And then I get an opportunity to share the message of Jesus, or maybe how that contrasts to some of the things that they believe. And so it just really leads to a good conversation to ask questions and to listen. When you lovingly treat people as people instead of projects, then they warm up to you. And you're not cutting them off by the way that you're approaching it. So this motive of love makes it easier for me, easier for them, easier for everybody, easier to have a good conversation, and hopefully good fruit. So the last thing is just to lovingly respond to where they're at. Follow God's lead in that. Sometimes that might mean that you're just listening and that you don't go anywhere with it. Sometimes it might mean you get into a really good conversation, that you share the gospel. Sometimes it might mean that you have to share some really hard things. There are different ways that God leads. So the telescope guy, how I felt like God led with that is I went on to Amazon. I found the H.A. Rey book and I ordered it. And I think it was Thanksgiving morning. I went and I left it on his doorstep and just left a little note like, hey, it was great to meet you the other day. I hope you and your grandkids enjoy this book. I didn't leave my name, I didn't leave my contact info, I didn't leave a church card, because I felt like all that would taint it a little bit, like, I'm doing this in hopes that you'll come to my church, instead of just, hey, we had this interaction, and I just want to show love to you. And I imagine he woke up, found that, and that was the best part of his day, if not his week. Who knows what will come of that, but for sure, if I had seen him a couple days later, he would have been like, hey, you're that guy, thanks so much, that's really cool. Kathleen and I had a conversation at someone's door one time when we asked to pray for her, and she said, it's too hard. She's kind of choking up a little bit, and we're totally confused, like, what's going on? And turns out her husband had died recently, and I think it was just too hard for her to pray. It was too sensitive. And so, you know, we said that we would pray for her. We went home. We ordered some flowers for her. I think Kathleen wrote a really nice card. And we did leave her contact information, kind of like, we don't know if you have a support system, but we can do anything to help. We'd be glad to be here for you. And I think she wrote us a thank you note, and that was kind of the end of it. But we're just trying to follow God's lead in that and see where it goes. One time I had a conversation with a guy who was Catholic, and we had a pretty good conversation. He was pretty spiritual and thought about a lot of spiritual things. And we discussed whether we're saved by faith or by our works. And so I told him about how in the Catholic Bible that I have, that it was just really clear that we're saved through our faith and not by our works. And that this is what his Bible said. And he didn't actually have a Bible, I think. So our conversation ended politely. I think one of us had to go somewhere or something. And so same thing. I bought one, and I went and I took it to him. For him, I knocked on the door and was hoping I could get into another conversation with him, but he didn't show up. So I left a couple notes just in case he wasn't there. So I left a couple notes in the Bible just in case, and said, you know, hey, here's the intro to the Bible where the Pope says this is a good book, two thumbs up, and you should read this. And then I highlighted a couple of the verses that talk about how we're saved through faith. Even the headings in the Catholic Bible were like, saved by faith, not by works, just like our Bibles. And so I just left that with him. And again, nothing came from it, but I thought that was a good response. One time I was doing 40 days of evangelism. And for 40 days, I tried to go out and share my faith every day. And that's where I learned a lot about how to talk to people and just loving people in conversations. But on the very last day, I walked up to this guy. He was at Westside Park and sitting on a bench there. I said, hey, I'm going around talking to people about God. Mind if I ask you a few questions? He's like, nope, go ahead. And I said, so do you believe in God? He's like, nope. I'm like, okay. And did you grow up in the church? Nope. does that ever bother you? Nope. You know, it was just kind of ending real quickly, and he just did not seem interested at all. So if someone's not interested in a conversation, what do you do then? I think I may have even said, so would you be interested in hearing what the Bible says? Nope. Like, okay, so what kind of dog is that? So then we started talking about his dog. You know, I don't have to go down a certain path. It's just responding to where a person's at. He wasn't there. It's like, okay, that's fine. Then hopefully I can just be a messenger of love to the guy. Look for an opening into the gospel. You can approach it in a couple different ways. You could say, can I share with you what the Bible says about how we can know for sure that we have eternal life? It's maybe a little bit more intellectual, I guess. You could also say something like, can I share with you what the Bible says about how we can restore a relationship with God, or how you can have a relationship with Jesus? Something along those lines is a little more relational. I'll use both of those depending upon the situation. But as we're talking, I'm hoping that the conversation gets to that point. And if it does, great. And if it doesn't, that's okay. Maybe it will next time. And then I would just encourage you to be loving, but not wishy-washy. The goal is not to never offend. You see, Jesus, sometimes the crowds loved him, sometimes they wanted to stone him. And we want to do what's right in the moment, not just what's easy or soft. I remember one time there was a guy I was talking to in a park near here, and I asked him if I could talk to him about God. He said, sure. I asked if you believe in God. Yes. Do you go to church anywhere? Yes. He named a really good Baptist church in our community. And I said, how sure are you going to heaven? And he said, 100%. I said, if God said, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? And he said, because I'm a good person and I try to follow him closely, or something like that. A little like, eh. And it seemed like he wasn't trusting in Jesus and what Jesus did for us on the cross, but he was trusting in his own goodness. And I felt like God wanted me to push. I'm like, oh, okay, can I ask you something really hard? And he's like, sure. And he kind of looked at me like, I want to rip your head off right now. It's like, and of course he's a big guy. I'm like, okay, so it's great that you believe in God and that you go to a Christian church, but it seems like you're trusting in your own efforts and not in what Jesus did for you. And he said, well, faith without works is dead. And I could have just let it go at that, but I just felt like God wanted me to keep going. So I said, well, that's true. It says that in James. But I think in context there, it's saying the quality of faith, that if your faith is of the quality that it doesn't produce fruit, it doesn't produce works, then your quality of faith is really poor. It's not a saving faith. So I think it's talking about the genuineness of your faith, not faith versus works. And so we talked about that a little bit more, and he was still real short with me and didn't seem very happy. And then for whatever reason, I saw him a day or two later, and he was really friendly with me, and we had a short, cordial conversation. So who knows what's going on in his heart, but sometimes God pushes you into uncomfortable places. And that brings us to my neighbor. My neighbor Dick is an atheist, and I've shared things about him before, and he's a really strong atheist. He's kind of a, you might call him an obnoxious atheist, because he'll really challenge, and he'll be like, okay, Steve, be honest with me. You don't really believe this garbage. I mean, I know that you have to say this stuff in front of your congregation, but it's just you and I now. You know, you can be honest with me. And it's like, whoa, that's really super offensive. And he's old, he's in his 90s, and he probably doesn't have a lot longer to live. And he's a short story writer, and he writes these stories, and then he sends them to me, and then I read them, and then we get together for lunch and discuss them. And so it's kind of a fun relationship. We're friends. And so he had sent me a story, sent me an email, and I responded to his email. And I want to read the response to you. It's a pretty strong response. I probably wouldn't speak to anybody else on the earth this strongly, but I just want to get you a flavor of, sometimes it's good to be strong. Sometimes God leads that way, especially if it's coming out of love. And that's where my email was coming from. And so he had asked what I thought about God. Here's what I wrote. I said, do you really want to know what I think? I think you know God. You just don't like him. In your younger years, you didn't want to follow him, and now you don't even want to entertain the idea. It sickens you. You would have to admit that you were wrong, and that is too high of a price to pay. And in spite of your claim to sinlessness, I think you think you've done things too horrible to be forgiven. You'd rather go to your grave holding on to your foolish pride and self-sufficiency than admit the most basic of sins. Why not admit that you're a sinner? You have nothing to lose. Everyone you know knows you're a sinner. Just admit it. Maybe it would be your first step in finding God. He had asked about what happens to people who don't believe in Jesus. And so I said, what about people who don't believe? You don't want it cushioned, so I won't. They're going to hell. It's that simple. And now you can judge God for that, right? Because you are fairer, more loving and just. And let's not forget all-knowing. That's a difference between you and me. When there's something I can't understand about God, I give him the benefit of the doubt. I trust that he's good and knows best. Maybe I don't understand it all, but I believe that I can leave it in his hands. But you rage at this. You will sit in judgment on God because you believe you are wiser than him. I found your letter and accompanying story thought-provoking. In fact, it played a large role in the formation of my last sermon. I was thinking about the day of judgment, when all the people who've ever lived stand before Jesus. Will he be meek, understanding, and compassionate, or will he rule with a rod of iron? If you've got 30 minutes, you should give it a listen. I'm not expecting to convert you. That would be great, but ashamedly, I don't have that much faith. But it might help explain how I reconcile a loving God with hell. It's online, and I gave him the link. I said, I hope this letter isn't too pointed. So many of your stories have a theme of survival. A sense of urgency is key to survival. You must know what you're up against and how much time you have to escape, outwit, or overpower. To me, these matters are not just interesting conversation. They are life and death, and I don't have time to drudge through polite sensitivities. I trust you understand. I love you, Dick. You're a good friend, and I appreciate that we can discuss these things candidly. I look forward to continued conversation. Love, Steve. And that's pretty strong. Again, I wouldn't normally be that strong with somebody, but I felt that he could take it, and that was kind of the flavor of how our conversations had gone. And honestly, he got my letter, and he received it well. It was like I'd send him a birthday card or something. It's like water off a duck's back. It was no big deal to him because he likes just straightforwardness. So why was I that direct with him? Because every time I hear an ambulance in my neighborhood, I think, oh, it's Dick. And I've had my last chance with him. So that's certainly not where we started. This is after years of intense conversations. And I didn't want that left unsaid. I felt like I needed to be that direct because I loved him. I loved him. And so that's really what it comes down to, is we're just always looking for ways to love people. How can I love this person, this stranger? How can I love this friend, this coworker? And when we have this motive of love, it makes it way easier. And so my hope is that that can become more and more of a part of our lives, of where we're thinking about how to love people and engage them in spiritual conversation, and then just seeing where God takes that. So let's pray. God, we thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for sending Jesus to come and to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Thank you for providing eternal life as a free gift. And thank you that we have relationship with you because our sins are no longer standing in the way of having a relationship because you've dealt with those sins. So we praise you for that. Pray, God, you would help us in taking this message to the world. And I pray, God, that you would just help us to really be able to love people and share with them in a way that is something that is not offensive to them, but where we can actually get into good, meaningful spiritual conversation. So just thank you for this time here, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.